Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
The idea of being vulnerable feels terrifying, but we will never heal what we conceal.
It's about time, because we're going there.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to another episode of We're Going There. I am your podcast host, Bianca Wattis-Olthoff, and we are in the middle of a three-part series. I don't often do this, but I was thinking about the best way to serve our podcast community and our podcast listeners. And I love taking a beat and taking a look at what's going on in culture. What am I seeing people wrestle with? What are needs that I see kind of emerging to the top and bubbling to the top? And if you missed yesterday's episode, you can go back and listen to what leading through pain looks like. But today, I'm going to continue on with a biblical lens and framework from none other than my Bible boyfriend, Paul the Apostle. Now, as we dive into the topic at hand, I have to reiterate, the topics that we're discussing are sensitive. They might even be uncomfortable. You might possibly want to turn this off and avoid the conversation of pain and trauma. But my hope in my heart, in the course of these 3 days, is that we have honest conversation and space where we get to have good and earnest and honest dialogue about how we could live and lead as more mature people, because we aren't afraid of hard conversations. So friends, let's go there. Today, I want to talk about trauma. Specifically, how do we lead in the midst of trauma? Let's just set a strong foundation and make sure we understand what trauma is. I know with so many definitions out there, let's just make it very simple. Trauma is our response to a painful event. Yep, that's it. By definition, trauma is our response to a painful event, and it's a response to something that has disturbed us or distressed us. Now, some people think that trauma is only physical, like a physical injury, like you fell off a roof or you broke your knee or you got into a car accident. And yes, there's physical trauma, but there is also emotional trauma, spiritual trauma, mental trauma. And what I believe in this season of my life, my birthday was this month. I'm 29 again, friends. Yep. If you ask me my age, I am 29 again. In the years that I have been leading, in the years I have launched, whether different businesses or worked at nonprofits or now lead a church, I've learned some things in observing the effects of trauma and the effects that trauma can have on our life. And this is what I've discovered. Physical pain oftentimes are wounds that you can see, but emotional, psychological, and spiritual wounds hurt as much as the ones that you can't see. In my two cents, in working with counselors and being in counseling and therapy for, gosh, almost a decade now, that it's sometimes psychological trauma and emotional trauma takes longer to heal than physical trauma. Now, I don't have a science degree. I just have a degree in desertology, as in you survive the desert and you live to tell about it. And what I have observed, especially within Christian communities, is that we as Christians, we as followers of Jesus, we love slapping Romans 8:28 over our trauma. Oh yeah, we know it. We know that all things work together for good. Yeah, okay. That's true. But the same man that's going to talk about trauma is the same man that is talking about faith. And the thing within Christian circles, it's almost like we only take a faith perspective. And I say this as a faith girl. I say this as a woman who has great faith, but the downfall is that if we only talk about the faith perspective, we are negating the pain of trauma. Friends, I want us to get comfortable and familiar with talking about pain. So sometimes we jump straight to Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good, that it ignores the shock. And if we ignore the shock of trauma, if we ignore the shock of pain, as we discovered yesterday, it forces us into a place called denial. And it's in those moments when we don't healthily face trauma or pain and acknowledge it and recognize it, work our way through it. It's in that place where we find unhealthy ways to cope with trauma. What does that look like? Well, maybe it looks like guilt or anxiety or emotionally unstable. And so what I want us to do is I want us to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, but I also want us to be very practical. Yesterday, we discussed pain points and identifying where we were in pain. But today, we are taking this deeper. If we're going to learn how to lead through pain, we have to understand trauma. Like I said, this week won't be light and fluffy, but it will be transformational and informational. Today, we are discussing the three types of trauma. Let's make this simple, and then we'll unpack it as we go forth. Okay, the first type of trauma is acute trauma. Now, this is our response to a one-time traumatic event. It's called acute, but honey, it ain't cute, okay? It is a one-time traumatic event, like a car accident, an earthquake, a complicated birth. It's a one-time thing. That doesn't mean it has less impact psychologically. It just means it's a one-time thing. Okay, the second form of trauma is chronic trauma. Chronic trauma is a long-term response from prolonged or repeated events. If you live with someone who's an alcoholic, that's chronic. If you face repeated sexual abuse or molestation, that's chronic. If you were bullied as a kid, that's chronic trauma. And it's over a long-term response from a repeated event. Then lastly, this is the third form of trauma, complex trauma. So this is your response to multiple ongoing events. So it's not just that you were bullied once, it's that you were bullied repeatedly. It's not that you lived with an alcoholic, but that you're currently living with an alcoholic. You've been exposed to physical abuse over a long period of time. Not one form of trauma is worse than the other. It's just really important for us to diagnose and understand where we are when discussing our trauma. Why does this matter? It matters because trauma changes how you see God, trauma changes how you see people, and trauma changes how you see you. If you don't recognize the trauma that you've incurred, you will never heal from it. I think sometimes we're afraid in a church context and culture where we don't talk about abuse, we don't talk about trauma. And I do believe that a lot of this is generational. So I had this boss that loved the Monty Python sketch, comedy sketch troupe. And there's this one scene that my boss showed me where there is this soldier and he's wearing a helmet and he's bloody and he has a sword and there's an entire arm missing off of his body. Like blood is squirting out and he has no arm. Like he's literally missing an arm. And he shouts back, the soldier in this comedy piece shouts back, "It's nothing but a flesh wound." Yeah. I definitely think that part of this is a generational thing. There's a generation before us that just got very comfortable with pain. Like my father, who's United States Marine Corps Vietnam veteran, who when I would fall down as a child or slipped somewhere, I'd fall down and he'd come over and very paternal, very loving, you know, he'd try to comfort. But then he had this phrase, "No blood, no pain, man. No blood, no pain." And that generation, they were a generation that just pushed through. And though I do not think that's bad, I really don't. There's actually an element that's good because instead of like coddling and, you know, or making excuses for everyone's pain to become wound lickers, no, they push through. And that's a good thing. However, if we don't acknowledge our trauma, we will never heal from it. We will never heal from it. And it will rear its ugly head much later on in life. So now this begs the question, how do we heal? I went to my Bible boyfriend, who I love very much, and I don't think I naturally saw Paul as a trauma victim. But as I've been going through the verses and the letters that he wrote, he endured so much trauma and pain. I guess I missed it because in scripture, I always viewed him as so strong and so authoritative. And he just gets back up and it's only a flesh wound, you know. But for Paul the Apostle, he went through acute, chronic, and complex trauma. Let's break each of these down. Paul's first traumatic moment was acute trauma. What was his acute trauma? This is when he was on the Damascus Road and he was struck by a light. Paul, on this dusty desert Damascus Road, he's confronted by the confronter. Paul, who was the hunter, was now hunted by God. Paul literally came face to face with the presence of Jesus. And Jesus is not like, hey, come to me all who are heavy laden and burdened. No, what did he say? He said, Paul, you've come up against me. I mean, when we think about a loving, comforting God, is that the picture that you get? So now he's course correcting Paul. Paul falls off his horse. He's blind. He's confronted with the presence of the Lord, and he's called out by Jesus. This is a traumatic moment. And we are told that he's blind. He's blind for 3 days. And during the course of his blinding, he's told he has to go see somebody by the name of Agabus. This is trauma, okay? And then after this moment, Paul then steps into his calling. So he meets Agabus, he gets his sight back, and now he steps into his calling. And this is the moment where you think, well, now he lives happily ever after. He has a six pack. He lives in a mansion. He has absolutely no problem. No. From this point, he goes from Damascus and he's about to get the snot beat out of him. And then he goes to Antioch and he's run out of the city. Then he goes to Iconium and to Lystra and he's beat multiple times. Then he goes to Thessalonica and then he goes to Berea and then he goes to Corinth and then he goes to Jerusalem and he is confronted again and again and again and again. And this is what he says. This is the words of Paul. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served far more. I have worked harder. I've been put in prison more often. I've been whipped times without number. I had faced death again and again. 5 different times Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Like, pause for a second here because this number of 39, 40 was considered a corporal punishment by death. And so many people died at lashes and they felt like it was merciful to give 39. But if you're giving someone 39 lashes, the intent is to kill them. Okay. So Paul says 5 different times Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I was a whole night and day adrift at sea. I traveled on many long journeys. I faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews as well as the Gentiles. I have faced danger in cities, in the desert and on the sea, everywhere. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. The worst, I have worked hard and long enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and often have gone without. If I must boast, I would rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. Oh, these are the words of Paul that give us context for the trauma. And if you don't process your trauma, you will not get the poignancy of this man's life, his words, and these scriptures. We have to start recognizing our trauma. And this is interesting because when I first started going to therapy a decade ago, I met with my counselor and I was like, I have no trauma in my life. I had a very picturesque childhood. Great family, loved the Lord, we went to church, went to Vacation Bible School, you know, whatever. But then I started opening up and started recounting, wait a minute, we lived in a low-income area. Wait a minute, we were surrounded by gangs. Wait a minute, our house was broken into multiple times. Wait a minute, I was molested as a child, not once, but twice. Wait a minute, there were many times where we didn't have food in the refrigerator. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So it's ironic to think that I did not have a traumatic upbringing. If you don't recognize the trauma, you'll never be able to heal from it. How do we heal from trauma? Paul isn't saying, hey, let me tell you everything that overcomes so that you could respect me. No, he's talking about his trauma. He's processing his trauma with trusted people. So we heal when we process the pain of our trauma with others. But herein lies the problem. Because instead of seeking connection by sharing our trauma, we prioritize protection. You don't heal if you ignore it. You don't heal if you suppress it. You don't heal if you forget it. But you start to heal when you process it and say, this happened to me. And I get it. The idea of being vulnerable feels terrifying. But we will never heal what we conceal. And this is the plan of the enemy. He wants us to prioritize protection. He wants us to ignore connection. He wants us, in fact, to go into isolation. So when Paul is writing to his friends in Corinth and he tells them, I've been beaten 5 times and received 39 lashes, he's letting them know there was intent to kill. That's what Paul is saying. He's like, man, you guys, I was beaten with rods, stoned with rocks, shipwrecked. He's talking about being adrift at sea on that moment in Malta when he's shipwrecked. frozen, living in despair. You know, the question I have to pause and ask as I read this is, do you think that Paul questioned living? I think for the first time I saw somebody dealing with suicidal thoughts in scripture, I just never expected it to be Paul. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 1:8 and shed some light on the psyche of what Paul is going through. He says this, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles that we've experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despair of life itself." I want us to listen to that last phrase again. So we despair of life itself. When we think about Paul, he talks so much about our mental mindset that I don't think he ever wrestled with like suicidal ideation. But I had a conversation with Pastor Larry Bry from Elevation, and he's been on the podcast before. And in one conversation, he pointed this out and it resonated so deeply. When Paul says far beyond, it's not just beyond, it's far beyond. He says far beyond his ability to endure. The man that I give so much credit to for endurance and tenacity and grit and resilience, he was the one that said, we were beyond the point of wanting to go any further. And not just that, like not just, oh, I'm tired, but like we despaired of life itself. I don't want you to raise your hand or hit me up on social media, but I have to ask, have you been at that place before? Have you found yourself saying, it just would be so much easier if I died? That's what Paul is saying. Paul is so freaking honest. This is processing trauma. And I'm going to encourage you to spend time and do something called a life map. I've been giving assignments this entire time, and this is the assignment for today. It's going to take like an hour, maybe even more. And like, trust me, if you can't afford therapy, I've already paid the bill. I've learned it and I'm sharing it. I just want to shave the learning curve down for you. I want you to be faster, further, and farther than me at this age, okay? But let me tell you what you're going to do in a life walk. You're going to take 10-year decades, and you're going to take a look at what's happened to you in each of these decades, and then you're going to identify the trauma. Why is this important? If you don't identify it, you'll never heal from it. And once you've identified it and processed it, things happen to us and we don't think they're as traumatic. We process it and we heal from it. Now, I understand that there's different levels of trauma. Some therapists will use language like capital T trauma and lowercase t trauma. Capital T trauma is like, this is the big stuff. A loved one dies, a parent is diagnosed with cancer, you go through a divorce. But then there's lowercase t trauma. Your best friend said something mean to you at school, a pet dies away, the psychological effects that weigh on you because of your weight or those sort of struggles, right? Okay. Whether it's capital T trauma or lowercase t trauma, we can heal from it. How? Number one, we process the pain of our trauma with trusted people. And listen, I'm a pastor, so you're not going to listen to me and think that I'm like sincere about this, but literally, this is why I believe in small groups. At church, we call them community groups. I am pushing this agenda because literally we get to walk in the ways of Paul and we heal when we process our trauma. So the number one way we process our pain of trauma is with trusted people. The second way is that we prayerfully press into God with our trauma. Now, this is where I kind of get annoyed because people like to say, you know, pray and the trauma goes away. No. Because look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:8. He says this, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Family, how many? No, I asked you a question. You didn't respond because I can't hear you, but the Spirit of God can hear you. How many times did Paul beg the Lord to take it away? Three times. And Paul goes on to say, and each time he said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses. Paul prayed, and he prayed intense prayers, like a deep, deep, intense prayers. It was a begging. He's saying, God, I beg you to take this away from me. What was it? I don't know. Some people say it was an eye disease. Some people say it was something more traumatic. Some people say it was a chronic pain or maybe a person. I don't know. But he didn't blame God. He asked actually three times that it be removed. And so you know what that shows me? You can take your hurt to God and then take it to him again and take it to him again. And I'm going to say, don't just stop there. Ask God to take away the pain. You never know. You can unload on God. You can tell him, hey, this isn't fair. Tell him, this is not my fault. Tell him, why did you allow this to happen to me? You can take your pain to him. You can be real with God. Don't hold back. Scripture says to cast your cares upon the Lord. Paul says, I pleaded with the Lord. I pleaded with the Lord. I pleaded with the Lord. And in verse 9, he says, for the sake of Christ, I delight in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So can we be leaders who delight in weaknesses? Can we be leaders that say, you know what? I got this wrong and I delight in my mistakes, my weaknesses and my faults. I delight when people insult me. Can we be content in our hardships? For when I am weak, then I am strong. Listen, family, nothing can change your past, but God can heal your broken heart. I love Psalm 34:18, that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. So number one, we process the pain of our trauma with trusted people. Number two, we prayerfully press into God with our trauma. And number three, and this is where we usually stop in Christian communities, okay? We usually stop with like, we process and we pray, Jesus fix it, Jesus paid it all, he's our healer, amen. Okay. But the third part is crucial. And I say this as I'm walking through one of the hardest seasons of my life. And this is what I'm daring people to believe. That if you identify your pain and you go through your trauma, that God will give you grace so that your pain will have a purpose. And I get it. There's someone on the podcast right now that's listening and you're like, too soon, Bianca. Absolutely not there. I don't have grace for it. No. I get that. I'm with you. I understand that maybe you're a little hesitant to talk about this, but I promise you, I'm going to say that we can pursue purpose in our trauma. And I'm hesitant about saying that because maybe you're in the middle of hurting. Maybe it's too soon. Maybe you're like, nope, not there yet. I don't want to talk about purpose. No. But 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4 says this, and this is Paul writing, praise be to the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all trouble so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. Do y'all hear that? I'm not saying God made you go through trauma just so that you can comfort somebody. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that when you survive, you will have a whole other lens and filter. We love to tell people, we love to tell ourselves, I made it through the trauma and I'm healed. But as I was talking to my counselor, he flipped the script. He said, no, it's not just that we survive the trauma and we're healed. It's that when we survive trauma, we can actually be stronger. And that to me is what I'm living through right now. This is me. So now I can say, we know that all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Your trauma may not be your fault, but pursuing God for your healing is your responsibility. Your trauma is not your fault, but pursuing God is your responsibility. Don't just get over it. Heal from it and be stronger because of it. Day one, we identified our pain. Day two, we're working through our trauma. Join us tomorrow as we wrap up this series, because my heart and my hope is that we are better leaders of God's people, better leaders in the workspace, and better leaders in our home. I love you, family. Thanks for doing this with me.